We're in the second week now of a series that we're calling Freedom. And last week we started that series. Pastor Tom preached that. And if you weren't here, I want to give a bit of review, not just for you, but for all of us. And I also want to direct you to our website because I listened to the sermon. It is a great foundation for the series that we're in. Preached a great sermon last week, and I would encourage you to go to our website and catch up on the series. And in the beginning of the series, he was talking about the problem. And I've noticed, I'm sure you've noticed in life too, that if you don't know what the problem is, you can't fix it. You can't fix a problem when you don't know what the problem is. If you're having a conversation that turns into a bit more than a conversation, gets a little bit heated, and you're dialoguing back and forth with somebody, I'm sure it's happened to probably everybody in this room, that at one point you just kind of pause and like time out. I think we're actually talking about two different things here. And what is it that you think we're trying to solve here? And when you hear that the problem they're trying to solve is different than the one you thought you were trying to solve, it changes everything. At that moment, you just go, okay, let's solve my problem, not yours, right? Or you might go, no, let's solve your problem. Let's work on this. Let's deal with the one that we're dealing with. And you can fix it. And the problem that Tom brought out last week, the problem that a guy named Paul brings out, it's actually worse than we thought. It's worse than you thought. And I believe that these 4 weeks of this series could be one of the most important series any of us in this room actually grab hold of. It is difficult information to really grasp, because it's a bit foreign to us, and yet it is some of the most important stuff in all of the Bible for us to grab hold of. And when we think about what we're supposed to do in this life of ours, many of us can get caught in a cycle, and I think it's because we haven't actually identified what the real problem is. And we can find ourselves wanting to do something that we don't end up doing, or wanting to actually avoid something that we end up in the middle of. And we wonder, how did I get here again? Find ourselves at the end of the day, looking back on the day, saying, in the beginning of the day, I decided I wasn't going to say that, do that, act in that fashion. Here I am at the end of the day, having to acknowledge that I did it, said it, and acted in a fashion I did not want to act in. What's going on here? And then the logical conclusion or the next move of that is to lay there. And I don't know if I'm the only one. My guess is not. Only one who has ever done this in life. Maybe it was last night for some of us, or 10 years or 20 years ago. But you lay there thinking to yourself, man, I just stink. I try harder and I work harder. And I still find myself not able to do or to act or to respond in a way that I want to. What's wrong with me? And then we just double down and try harder and work harder. And the only problem with that is when we don't know what the real problem is, and we think the problem is actually, I stink, I can't do it, I just need to try harder and work harder. The problem is that trying harder, working harder, doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it can leave us feeling guilty, leave us full of shame, leave us in a place where we're exhausted. So this guy named Paul, he lived a long time ago, and he actually wrote more books that are recorded in the Bible than any other person had written. He planted one church after another. He actually had an encounter with Jesus at one point that changed everything for him. And when he was thinking about the real problem, he had an idea of what he thought it was. And you may this morning, as you listen to him describe the problem, you may want to resist that. You may be in a place that you go, okay, that might be good for others. I'm just not sure I buy that. And I'm okay with that. If you're here this morning and you're just wondering, what is it that the Christian community believes? What is it that they see when they look at the world? What's their worldview? I think you're going to get a glimpse into that this morning. And you may wrestle with that. You may want to talk to somebody about that. You may want to email me and say, I don't know if I buy that, but I'm interested, intrigued by what you were thinking, what he said so many years ago. But when Paul began to describe the problem, he started with these words out of Romans chapter 7. He said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Hold on to that. It is not I who do it, but sin that is living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. That is a lot of do's, right? It's actually pretty hard to read. If I do what I do not want to do, and if I'm not doing what I want to do, what's going on here? And he describes this sort of like, at the end of the night, I've gone all day long, and there are things that I declared I want to do, and there are things I declared I did not want to do. I want to stop this, and I want to start this. And at the end of the day, he does an assessment and steps back and goes, did it again. Didn't do it again. And the logical conclusion of that would be what? I stink. I need to try harder. Next day, same thing. I stink. I need to try harder. He didn't use the word I stink. He actually said this. Wretched man that I am. And if you go so far as to start thinking that about yourself or saying that about yourself, you know Paul wasn't dealing with something small. This was a big deal. This man named Paul was wrestling with something pretty big. Now, like I said, you might not agree with what Paul says the problem is, but here it is. What Paul says the problem is sin. Not sinning, but sin. And sin and sinning are actually different things. Oh, they're related, but they're different things because sinning is a verb. Sin is a noun. Sinning is something we do. Sin is something that was done to us. Sinning is about my actions. Sin is larger than my actions. Sinning is something we can avoid. Doesn't mean we will, but we can. Sin is something none of us could avoid. Sinning is something we engage in. Sin is something that engaged us. Sinning is a verb, something we're doing. Sin is a noun, something bigger, something that infected us. And we can look to the scripture and find that again and again. I think we can actually look to life. We can see it lived out. I mean, what causes a cute little toddler girl to clock another girl? One of her playmates takes that wow-wee fingerling and pops her right in the forehead. Like, what is going on here? Like, what just happened? Paul's got an answer. What happens when toddlers begin to form teeth? And you go, watch out for that one. When they get frustrated, nobody taught them how to get frustrated. Nobody taught them how to bite, and yet they dig in and bite. And you're like, are you kidding me? The force of a child's jaw is amazing here. Like who, what, what's the deal? And Paul says, I know what the deal is. I do. I know what the deal is. And his answer to that is sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, this is what he said. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that's interesting, just as sin, the noun, entered the world through one man, his name was Adam, just as sin, the noun, entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all singe. We're back to the verb. All singe. Which is to link these two together in this way. You could say that sin caused sin. Sin caused us to sin. The noun caused us to verb it out, to begin to do this stuff. To the Corinthian church, he actually said that in Adam, all of us die. All of us have been infected by sin. That's a pretty big statement there. That death, that sin, has found its way into every single one of us. That in Adam, not for Adam, not that it happened to Adam, but that because Adam sinned, all of us, it got brought into the world, and not just into the world, but we stepped into it as well. And now we are, and this is where it's a bit of a foreign concept, but to think about this is extremely important for us, that we stepped in. We were born into this, that I'm in here, that every one of you are in here. Who else? My sweet grandma? There's nobody like her. Yeah. Yeah, she's in here too. My grandpa? That's a bit easier. He's kind of crusty. All right? We can put grandpa in here. All right. He's in here. First service, my wife was in here. I didn't have the heart to put her in here. I left her out here. All right? But this is second service. She's in here too. My wife's in here. And your children are in here. And all of us. It says all. Every one of us is in here. Paul wrote that to the Roman church. We're all in here. And what does he say about it? He says words like sin was your master, that you were a slave to sin, that death, it was on you, that your decisions were the things you don't want to do. Man, I'm a slave to this stuff. It's my master. I end up doing it, even though I don't want to. You're in Adam. You're in sin. That this noun is causing it, spilling out of you. The things I really want to do, and I really want to do them, and I want to be like that. I find myself tripping up all the time, and I, at the end of the day, go, what is wrong? And Paul even goes to the point where he says, who will save me? He doesn't say what. And I'm so glad he doesn't say what will save me, because if it's a what, then it's back to try harder, do harder, work smarter. Come on, get with the program. You need to do it. He's saying we have a sin problem that we are in. Every single one of us is in, and there is a way out of this. But it's not something that you're going to wake up in the morning and just say, I'm doubling down, tripling down. Today's a new day. Going to do it differently today. That isn't going to work. To the Corinthian church, to the Roman church, to the church in Philippi, to one church after another. And Paul wrote a lot of letters to a lot of churches. He said the same thing with different words. To the church in Philippi, he says, it wasn't very long ago that all of you were in a stagnant life called sin. Every one of you. There was room for all of us, and none of us got outside of this. All of you were in the same boat. All of you were doing what you felt like doing, when you felt like doing it. It's a wonder that God didn't do away with us, but He had a different plan. He picked us out of there and brought us into Christ. And He has you now where He wants you from this time forward, forevermore, to shower you with a grace, with a mercy that comes from above. Something radical happened. Paul said it to the Roman church in chapter 6 in a masterful way with these words. Don't you know? Well, maybe they didn't. Actually, I don't think they did. That's why he even raises it that way. Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ and were baptized into his death? Like something happened here. And we'll come back to that in just a sec. Something happened when we came into relationship with Christ. It caused a guy named Paul, same guy, to say at one point in his life, I no longer live. Yeah, this used to be the life that I lived as a sin slave, as sin being my master. But Jesus, He died on the cross and resurrected, and my life, it got hid in Him. Something happened that I got my life hidden in Him. And now, that guy no longer lives. Only Christ living through me. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him or over us. The death He lived, or the death He died to sin once and for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Do not offer any part of yourself as sin, as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. Man, that's good stuff. Offer yourselves to God, every part of yourself, for sin no longer is your master. Not under that. I'm over here now because of what Christ did. I'm under a grace that lavishes me, and that no longer has control over me. I want to read one more section again here. For we know that our old self was crucified. That's gone. With Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. It is not the boss of me. It's not the boss of you. Because anyone who has died has been set free. Freedom. We're in freedom. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. You know, sometimes in the church, I think we have forgotten that Jesus did not just come simply to die on a cross and to die for our sinning. Oh, it's way bigger than that. To die for those things that at the end of the day, I need all these things forgiving. And God, I got a bunch of verbs throughout the day. I sin, a whole bunch of sinnings. I need one more verb to be applied to me now. And it's the one that you can do. Just forgive. If you would forgive, then we're all good. A bunch of verbs. You know, Jesus came to die for sin, a noun, to take our place in that, and to conquer death itself, that we would no longer be mastered by it. It isn't just about someday I'm going to go to heaven and I'll be free of that. You're already set free. This is what He's describing. You have already been freed. It's not your master. This is what Paul was trying to get to the church. Christ came for your life right now, that you might actually be able to do the things you want to do. The very things that are in the core of who you are. And to not have to avoid those things that He's calling you to be blessed by in your doing, that you might truly, truly be a person experiencing freedom. Maybe today you're listening to this and say, man, that sounds great. But you don't know. It's not quite that simple to just say, sin, you're not the boss of me. You're not the master. This is the master of me. It's not quite that simple because I've prayed and I've tried and, man, I'm exhausted and I still go to bed and I feel the guilt and I feel the shame. And I lay there thinking, I stink. I really do. I'm a wretched person. And, man, if I could just. And I just want to say to you, hold on. Just hang on. This is week 2 of a 4-week series. There's more to come, and come back. If you can't come back, grab the podcast and listen to it, because I so long for us to experience the freedom in Christ that He wants to offer to every single one of us right here and right now. For the rest of us here today, I want to invite us, in fact, all of us this week, just as a practical next step for us, to do something I've been doing for some time since I listened to Andy Stanley preach something similar to what we're talking about this morning. And at the end of the message, he said to his congregation, the people that were gathered there, I just want you to say the truth of the Bible and speak it over your life. When you find yourself about ready, so this week, when you find yourself about ready to do something and you're like, I don't want to do that. I do not want to go there. That will not be good for my life. That won't honor the one who gave himself for me. I don't want that. I want this. Say, sin is not my master. And it might sound silly at first, but there's a power in it to declare the truth. You're not the boss of me anymore. That has already been paid for. That is dead in me. Sin, you do not own me. Sin is not my master. Sin is not my master. You can still do it. You can still step into it if you want to, but do it knowing sin is not your master. I want to invite you to say that with me a minute. Sin is not my master. Say it again. Sin is not my master. There's power in that. Even a whisper of it, just whisper it. Sin is not my master. This week, that's all I'm asking you to do, is to step into that and to think about who your real master is. This one's my master. This one, Christ, is my master. And will give me everything I need. Shower me with a grace to be able to step in to what would both honor Him and bless me and those around me. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for the power of Your Word. And it's so real. That a guy that wrote more books of the Bible, a guy that planted one church after another, He was on His knees before You one day. And He touched His heart and You changed him. And he was able to say, sin, it's not my master anymore. I'm not the man that I used to be. There was a sin-dead life. It's gone. I no longer live. Not that guy anymore. Only Christ in me now. He's my master. May that truth find a home in every heart in this place this morning. May we step now into this world in such a fashion that we would know that we know we're not slaves to sin. It's not the boss of us. That You are. You have given Yourself and called us into such a deep love relationship that all that is good and right and blesses us, You invite us into now. And we bless You for that. Amen.